We're learning at this hour that Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, says that a number of agency funding bills may be packed into what they call mini buses, small bills that group the numbers of agency funding bills together and considered in that way on the floor of the Senate this summer. The Homeland Security Department's bill is not necessarily one of those to be included. Senator Mikulski hasn't released those details yet. But certainly, budget uncertainty at DHS affects the way that it works to fix its acquisition portfolio and other funding issues. Elaine Duke is a former Undersecretary of Management at the Homeland Security Department, now principal at Elaine Duke and Associates, here to talk about the budget uncertainty and the issue of congressional oversight. Elaine, it's a pleasure to have you back on the program. Nobody thinks that there'll be a government shutdown this year. Everybody's pretty confident that something will happen to allow that, to allow operations to continue. But it sounds like we may be back in the uncertainty realm that we've been in with continuing resolutions potentially, and certainly with this omnibus deal that doesn't really result in the item-by-item or program-by-program look that we're used to. What does that mean for an organization like DHS, Elaine, who is trying to get past a lot of the uncertainty we've seen over the last several years?
Well, I think it's very different to plan for continuing to deliver the Homeland Security mission. Homeland Security does quite a bit of its mission through acquisition programs and really need to build some planning in not only its processes, but enable industry through a steady flow of funding to deliver its partnership effectively. And that's very difficult for industry to do in executing the contracts when the money flow isn't consistent.
The issue with the omnibuses, we'll certainly learn how that plays out over the next several days, but if you were in your position as Undersecretary of Management, what case would you make to Congress to say, if you haven't decided yet to put us in one of those, please don't. Please stick with our funding bill straight up if possible.
Case I would make is a financial one. It costs more money when you don't do things in economic plans and economic life cycles. So if we are doing a project and enhancements that's necessary to deliver the Homeland Security mission, and it could be done with a reasonable flow of money in, say, a year, but we drag it out to 3 or 4 years, solely driven by a flow of money, it's going to cost more in the long run. You're driving your break even out for these enhancements that really need to be done to make the department more efficient and effective.
I imagine a poster child for that is St. Elizabeth's. I mean, that project seems like it's been started and stopped more times than I can even count.
St. Elizabeth's is one. The consolidation of the data centers is another one that's been written about extensively. Those aren't really necessarily cost overruns. They're just increased costs because we're not delivering them effectively because the money flow is not there to deliver them efficiently.
When you talk about the costs when there's an inconsistent flow of funding, do we have any numbers on that to know exactly how much the government spends because Congress hasn't funded these things consistently? It seems like that would be pretty convincing evidence that they should maybe do a little bit better job than they've been doing.
There are some numbers on specific programs, but I don't know of any overall. For instance, in the United States Coast Guard shipbuilding program, they do show numbers that as you're putting a ship class, say the National Security Cutter or the Offshore Patrol Cutter, through a shipyard, they can show production runs and load leveling to show how not having the ordering of the ships in a ship class efficient drives up the numbers for each individual ship. But overall, I don't think we have that analysis.
My colleague Sean McCauley has a story on federalnewsradio.com that you've read that addresses specifically the acquisition portfolio at DHS. The Government Accountability Office looked at that and found a lot of these programs have experienced some kind of budget turmoil over the years. And it's been an operational problem and it's been a cost problem. That case, it's striking to me that case, Elaine, doesn't resonate on Capitol Hill in an era when everybody, both parties, both sides of the Hill, talk about saving money and being more efficient dollar-wise.
I think the issue is it does save money, but it may not be this year. And I think with the budget, we're somewhat in a reactive mode, and we're not planning for the future. We're trying. I think that some of the people working the budget are really just trying to deal with today, and it's not effective for our future. It's really digging the hole deeper.
Elaine Duke is principal of Elaine Duke and Associates, and you can learn more about her work at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Elaine, the other issue vis-a-vis DHS and Congress is something we've discussed on this program many times, and that is the issue of oversight. The last number that I heard concretely was in the upper 80s, numbers of committees and subcommittees that have some piece of jurisdiction over the Homeland Security Department. The ad in the Wall Street Journal a while back listed all kinds of signatories, all of the former secretaries of Homeland Security and any number of other former DHS dignitaries saying enough is enough. This oversight burden is really unreasonable and unwieldy for the department to measure. What's your take on what reasonable, workable congressional oversight would look like for the agency?
Well, ideally, it would have four committees, a House and Senate Appropriations Committee and a House and Senate Authorizing Committee. That would be the ideal.
What the only way I see us being able to get to that, though, is for a whole bunch of people to do what is not typical for them, and that is to give up jurisdiction and give up bragging rights back in their states and districts. Is there something else that might help move that process along?
No, I mean, it is a jurisdictional issue, and it is hard to give up that authority or accountability, but it is something that does cause the department to not act in the most efficient way.
What does all of that demand for oversight and interaction with you and other senior leaders when you were at DHS, what does that mean for your schedules and your management of the operations that you have responsibility for, Elaine?
Well, it is a time and attention drain. I mean, we have to respect congressional oversight. We have three branches of government. But the number of hearings, because of the many committees, they are taxing, and they do take leadership away from focusing on delivering the mission and continuing to build the department. So it is a tax that way. And I think DHS leadership respects Congress and its role in the government, but having a little bit more streamlined process so that we didn't have so much oversight and so many hearings and disjointed oversight would be helpful to the leadership.
This ad was in the Wall Street Journal on May 21st, and we have a link to it later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The ad was organized, coordinated by the Annenberg Public Policy Center, and the material they put out about it says more than 100 congressional committees, subcommittees, claiming jurisdiction over DHS. And I mean, I've heard of instances where one committee wants you, I say as a former DHS official, wanted you and your colleagues to do one thing while another committee had a conflicting or a contradictory idea. How common was that you were kind of going in a couple of different directions because you were ordered to by the overseers on the Hill?
Well, I think it's more common that I would like to see it, and it's because you have such a division of authority in such microcosms that it's difficult for the overseers to see the bigger picture. So when you're making a decision based on one little snippet of the overall mission of Homeland Security, you'll come to a different conclusion than if you had a broader picture or a broader jurisdiction over the complex interaction and diversity of the Homeland Security mission.
What would you do to get to that ideal that you expressed earlier if you had the ability to wave a magic wand to get to those four jurisdictional committees over DHS, Elaine?
What I would do is to focus on, from both the congressional branch and the executive branch, on the business of governing. And I think that some of the jurisdictional issues are driven by politics. And I think politics is a necessary part of our country, but we need to start putting mission and governing our country over pure non-helpful political issues.
Elaine, thanks very much for your insights. Great to talk to you as always. Thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you.